This podcast is a ministry of Christian Life Center in Berwyn, Illinois. Our goal is to develop real faith for the real world. For more information, please go to www.berwynag.org.
Praise God. God is good. Don't worry, no machine gun today. We're in Illinois, no guns allowed. No, I tell you what, God is a big God. You know, I met a bunch of young men outside that were all fighters or what are you guys, UFC or M? Where's the fighters? MMA? Okay, and as I was sitting there, I have to ask this question. How many fighters do we have in the house today? How many fighters in here? You know, I think you need to realize that inside of today's society, today's times, for us to be a Christian, we must be a fighter. We have everything in the world coming against us, everything in the world trying to take us down. And I'm talking about spiritually, we need to be able to be a fighter. If you are not a fighter, you will be taken down. And it's proven. Many of us have failed. Many of us have stumbled. And listen, without Jesus Christ, you will be down. You must become a fighter. And the guys that were out here, praise God, man. I'm all for you. And I noticed in the back, we have a lot of families in here that has loved ones in the military. How many is out here now? Loved ones in the military? Praise God. We need to honor our military. How many people has been in the military that's here today? Any military people? All right. Thank you very much. I'm a preacher. I'm getting old, all right? I'm getting old. I'm a preacher. I'm getting old, but I'll fight at a drop of a hat if somebody talks about our military. I'm sorry, our men are out there. Our men are they are defending our country. You know, whether a war is right or wrong, our men is fighting for us. You got to remember that. And I can't stand, I don't care who they are, when they start downing our soldiers. Listen, when we start talking Iraq and everything, maybe we shouldn't have went in there. All right? Maybe we should have just kind of kept quiet and sent special forces in and ended it. I don't know, but I can tell you this much. Those men that are there are fighting for every one of us that's sitting here. And we need to honor those men, and we need to honor the ones that already fought for our country, because we couldn't be here today with freedom without that. So praise God. How many of you have done any Googling on the internet or anything to really find out who I am? Anybody? Okay, a few of you. Anyways, I'm Sam Childers. I am the machine gun preacher. You know, God is a very, very big God, you know. And if you get in Matthew chapter 5, I believe it's verses 10 and 11. You don't need to turn there. I'm not preaching on that today. But anyways, if you get in there, the word says that you are blessed when somebody lies about you, talks about you, tells stories or whatever, you will be blessed. But you know, the second part of that is, it says, be very happy. You know, the normal Christian is not blessed because people's talking about you, lying about you, and you're getting upset, you're getting furious, and you're ready just to go give them a piece of your mind. You're not going to get blessed. But why I got the name Machine Gun Preacher, a number of years ago, 13 years ago, I went into Sudan, Africa. When I went into Sudan, Africa, I seen there was people that were being killed, that was being persecuted, and the only people there that was helping was the SPLA, the Sudanese People Liberation Army, and nobody was helping them because they were considered rebels. What was Jesus considered? He was considered a rebel. So God says, I want you to start helping those people. So I started helping them. I was taking food into the front lines. I mean, there's fighting, killing going on. How many knows about the war of Sudan, South Sudan into Darfur? There's been a genocide going on there for many years. So I started helping these rebels out. The next thing I know, I'm in the middle of war. So, you know, naturally, I started carrying a gun, but I always carried a gun anyhow. So anyways, I started carrying a gun. The next thing I know, I'm a member of the SPLA. I am the only member of the SPLA, the only white man that is a member of the SPLA right now. And I've been in Sudan for 13 years. I rescue children. I am a pastor with a gun. Bottom line, somebody said, what does a machine gun help a pastor out? It's good for offerings, believe me. I'll get all you got before you leave today, though. But anyways, I've been in South Sudan for 13 years rescuing children. And it seemed like everything that God has ever given me to do, it was always something that everybody else said, there's no way you can do that. Then you know it's God when it's done. I started an orphanage in the middle of the jungle where they said, Reverend, you can't do that here. They're going to kill you. There's no way you can do it. They're going to kill you. And I'll never forget because I was driving down the road and God says, stop. And I stopped. I got out of the car and God said, I want the children's village here. I know none of you ever argue with God. Well, I started arguing with him. And I said, God, this is not a very good idea. It's not a good idea. God, I don't think you quite know where I'm at. You know, how many of you think you're smarter than God sometimes? None of you in here are like that. No, just me and your pastor. So anyways, I'm standing there and I'm trying to tell God, this is not a good idea. I don't think we should do this, God. Well, God said, no, this is where I want the children's village. So I started building this children's village. The next thing I know, the government of South Sudan, they come out and they said, Reverend, you can't build this here. I said, thank you. Thank you. Now tell God. Yeah. Said, it's not going to work. So, you know, I started building this orphanage. Everybody said, there's no way it can be built. Well, it's the largest orphanage in South Sudan right now. God is a powerful, powerful God. You know, the problem with the church today, and I say this all the time, we bring little things before God. Now listen, if you're that kind of person, fine, all right? Go ahead. Keep bringing little things before God. And you want to know what's going to happen? You're going to get little things. I'm tired of people saying, please pray, I need to make some extra money to pay my cell phone bill, or I need my lights is going to be shut off this week. God needs to do a miracle. If that's the only miracle you need, sit down. Because the God I serve is a big, big, big God, and He does big things. You know, listen, how do you know when God is at work? Is when something happens that everyone says there's no way it can happen. There's no way that can happen. Then you know it's God. All right? So anyways, the orphanage right now in South Sudan is one of the largest. And God just keeps multiplying, multiplying, multiplying. And I said, you know, Lord, when I'm done with this here, I'm not ever doing this again. Got to watch what you say to God. I tell you what, God has a sense of humor. Because I know that day he was smiling and said, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. The same thing my wife says to me a lot. We'll see. We'll see. So anyways, I started building another orphanage in the Darfur region. Now they said to me there again, they said, Reverend, you're going to die there. And I said, I know, I shouldn't go, but God said to go. So we're building a second orphanage right now. And there's one thing through this whole message today, and I want this to stick with you. Right now in the new region that we're working in, there's over 6,000 children dying per month. Per month. And listen, you can do something about it. We're going to watch a very short video, and then I'm going to let Yuns ask me any question you want to ask me. For about maybe 5 or 10 minutes, I'm going to let you ask some questions, and then we're going to get into the Word of God. Is the video ready? All right, let's go ahead and watch this.
Kidnapping and brutalizing children in Uganda and southern Sudan.
This is terror like no other.
Okay. I don't debate with anybody if what I do is right or wrong. Okay, I'm not here to do that. And to be honest with you, I don't know if I'm right or wrong. But I know over 1,000 children in South Sudan that thinks I'm right, that we've rescued. And how many of you here today have children? Slip your hands up. You know, I always ask just one question before I start letting you ask any question you want to ask me. If somebody took your child today, and I know you don't like to think that, but sometimes we got to think about reality before we make an opinion. If somebody took your child today and I said, I can get your child back, what would you say? Okay. Remember, there's still children out there that are hiding in the jungle. There's children out there that are dying. How many of you seen the movie Blood Diamonds? Blood Diamonds is a lot of what I do, but only I'm the guy on the other side of the gun fighting the warlords that steal the children. And it's happening every day. They will take a child as young as 8 years old, 9 years old, and they will begin by brainwashing that child, giving them drugs, possessing that child, and turning them into a killer. I have a young boy that is with me now that is 11 years old and killed over 30 people. Well, he's 14 now. I rescued him 3 years ago. They're forced to kill. And you can help save those children, and you can also help save the victims out there too. So any question you want to ask, go ahead. Go ahead. I tell you what, do we have a couple handheld mics? We got any handheld or no? How about running? We need a runner. You're not a runner, Pastor.
What are you trying to say, brother?
That come out wrong, didn't it? All right. Run the mic back to that guy right there. Okay, go ahead. Any question you want to ask, all right? I love you, Pastor.
Go ahead. Why does it seem as though there's no help for the organization that you're working for? Under the circumstances in Sudan, it doesn't seem like any other governments are really trying to get involved.
Let me go ahead and answer that, okay? I'm involved in a lot of peace talk meetings and a lot of meetings all over the world. And if people ask me all the time, do I want the United States to get involved? No. Thank you. No, we don't. I'm going to tell you the truth. We're in too much now. We're in wars that we cannot finish. We're being stretched too far. Our economy is also at the bottom right now. What our country needs to do now, and I'm just going to end it at this, is we need to stop all military surplus to any Muslim, Islamic-run country. I got to make sure I say that right. Islamic-run countries. Stop all military surplus sales. Yeah. Okay, somebody else. Go ahead.
With the fight that you're up against, how do you manage to get your supplies and the stuff that you need to build these orphanages into the country, and how do you get the help from the government if they're, like, against the craziness of what you're doing?
I am a member of the movement of the SPLA. I travel on a military cart, hold a rank of a colonel. I have probably 40 soldiers that's usually with me at all times. So anything that I need, I just go to the government and say, hey, I need some more men, and they give me men. I have a lot of people all the time. We get probably at least 200 or 300 ex-military to people wanting to go help me. You can come into the orphanage and work on a normal mission trip, but you can never go help me. There is a government there now. I am a soldier. It's just like us. We can't just go be a Marine or in the military. We can't go be in our military unless you literally join. So that can't happen. But the government does help me. But as far as getting supplies in, we fight. I've been ambushed over 10 times. They've tried to assassinate me over 10 times. You just got to fight. It's not near as bad now where the orphanage is I have right now. It's not near as bad there now as it was a few years ago. Now, Darfur, you will fight going into Darfur. Definitely you'll fight. Somebody else there.
If this is inappropriate, you're welcome not to answer this, but my curious mind just wants to know, have you ever been forced to kill a person over there?
You know, I tell you what I like to say when I get to this point. You know, the Bible tells us if we're going to brag about something, we should brag about something that benefits the kingdom of God. I was a drug dealer for many, many years. I wrote a book. You can grab it. There's some outside and there's some out front. Everyone here, please visit the trailer. We have stuff for sale in it. But you'll read in there, they done an investigation on the book to make sure it was all true. And I went to a cemetery to look at a young girl that I blamed myself for her life being ended. And when we were in one cemetery, I started walking through that cemetery and I found three people that I put in that cemetery. So, you know, it doesn't take a firearm to kill someone. We can kill someone even with our words. We can kill someone by selling drugs. So to be honest with you, I was asked not long ago, how many people have you killed? I don't know. I was a really bad person. When you sell drugs, and you sold as much drugs as I have sold over the years, I don't know how many people I've killed. You know, these girls that I found in the cemetery that day were all young girls that wasn't involved in drugs at all until they met me. Now, I have to live with that the rest of my life. You know, so as far as being a soldier or anything, I've been in more gunfights here in the U.S. than I have been in Sudan. And, you know, we do a lot of things. I think everybody in this room, we do a lot of things we're not proud of. But the thing that I am proud of is everywhere I go, I can give my testimony and people come to the Lord. Praise God. Somebody else. Right there with the mic.
Okay.
West Coast Chopper. All right. We all need to keep Jesse in prayer, though.
Yeah, definitely.
He messed up like a lot of us in here have messed up. It don't matter if it's a sexual sin or just a mess up. How many messes up in here? Everybody's ratting on Jesse right now. Jesse's a very good friend of mine. Everybody's ratting on him. We need to stop it. We need to pray for the man. Go ahead.
The war in Uganda, it's the 20-year war. Is this the same kind of war with the LRA?
You know, I'm gonna answer you before we go any further, and then I'm not even going to let you finish your question. I think I know where you're leading to. There's people saying there's a war going on in Uganda. There hasn't been no fighting in Uganda for over 2 years. There's a lot of nonprofits out there that's making money off of stuff that is not true. There is no war in northern Uganda. There hasn't been a war in northern Uganda where anyone was killed in over 2 years. I work with the UPDF, that is the military in northern Uganda. And I think that might answer your question, because I think I know, because every church I go to anymore, there's a couple organizations in the U.S. that's really pushing this war. You know, rehabilitate the child soldiers and stop the war of northern Uganda. There is no war in northern Uganda. The war right now, even where my orphanage is in South Sudan, there's no war right there. It's further north and into Darfur. I have to drive 4 days to shoot my gun. Used to be I could do it right in front of the orphanage, but now it's not like that. But the war is not there, and thank God it's not, too. Thank God. We only got time for a couple more.
I have a question. If you said some of these children are kidnapped, do any of them get returned to where they've been kidnapped from?
Yeah, I've rescued over 1,000 children, and I only have 279 children that is in my care. Most of those have went back to their family members. It's almost like right now, if something bad, drastic would happen in here right now, everybody would run in different directions. You know, every exit door, people would be running. It's the same thing when a village is attacked. Most of the children that we rescue or adults are not orphaned. They are displaced. So what we do is we begin to find their families and get them back into their families. Two more questions. Go ahead, sir.
What changed you? What was there? Was there a certain circumstance?
You know, I told your pastor here earlier, I didn't realize this was an AG church when I got here. I wouldn't have came. No. I was raised Assemblies of God. I was raised Assemblies of God. So I knew right from wrong from the very beginning. My mom and dad, I mean, that was our church, Assemblies. That's what we were raised in. I was dedicated in it. I knew that I was to be a pastor. I was prophesied over before I was even in my mother's womb that her next child was going to be a pastor. When I was 5 years old, or when I was in the womb, it was prophesied that I was going to be a pastor. When I was 5 years old, standing beside of her at an old-fashioned camp meeting, I was prophesied I was going to be a pastor. When I was 11 years old, I started smoking dope. And when I was 13 years old, I was doing hard drugs, LSDs, cocaine. When I was 15, I was shoving a needle in my arm. When I was 17 years old, I was dealing drugs, and I was a hired gun. Did you ever hear of a shotgunner? I was a shotgunner for about 2 years of my life. You know, I'm very good with a gun. You know, everybody in here got a talent, all right? I'm good with a gun. I can shoot a gun with either hand. All right. And finally, I got to get to answering your question. So I always knew I was to be a preacher. I just always knew it. But I kept running and running and running. And one day, we were down in Florida, and I was in a big drug problem, and I almost got shot. And I told my wife, I said, you know what? I ain't got a problem with dying. I ain't got a problem with dying. But it's for what I'm dying for. And I said, we need to move. She said, all right, where? My wife, I don't know if any of you ever heard about my wife. Did you hear about my wife? My wife used to be a stripper. She's hot, man. She's hot. She's still dancing just for me. I'm telling you, she's a hot babe. But now she's a pastor. She's a pastor. She runs my church. Well, anyways, she was going to this Assembly of God church. You know how Assembly of God churches are. So she's going to this Assembly of God church, gives her heart to the Lord. Next thing I know, she starts hounding me. Men, you know where I'm coming from? When they start hounding, then finally, you know what we do? We just start doing whatever they say, so they stop hounding. She wanted me to go to this old-fashioned camp meeting. So finally I said, all right, woman, I'll go if you shut your mouth. I didn't say that to her face, but I was saying it. So finally I went to this old-fashioned camp meeting one night, and God got a hold of me. And here I am. Preaching. That's how it happened. One more question.
That'd be me. I have a two-part question. First of all, with these kids that you said that they kill...
Two questions cost double. No, go ahead.
All right. The kids that you said that they kill and they put them on drugs and stuff, what's the long-term effect once you rescue them? What's
going to happen? Okay, let me answer that one first. Then I'll let you do your second one. Okay. First, is there anybody in here that has ever worked with children at all in order to rehabilitate children? Okay, rehabilitating children, the younger they are, the easier they are. Where the problem comes in is when they're your age. The older we are, the harder it is to rehabilitate us when something happens to us. I would love just to rehabilitate just children only, work with children only. It seems like the younger they are, the easier it is. I've had children that have been, I can say the word rape, I just said it. Okay, from three years old was the youngest. And those children, I got one little girl right now that if you'd have seen her when she came in and see her now, I mean, she's just total laughter and singing all the time and everything. But the older girls and the older boys, because boys are raped just as much as girls are in Sudan, it's harder to rehabilitate them than it is the young ones. You know, Jesus Christ can change everything. But let's not just put a blanket over it and say it's gone. It's not gone. It's always there. But so is Jesus. And when it starts to give us a problem is when we let up on Jesus. You know, a lot of people gets... fully, what do you say, come back, they start serving God, everything's gone, and then all of a sudden they start going back to old things, and then they start letting up on God, and then they start having problems again. So we can't let up on them. Your second question.
I noticed you used the word yuns. Are yuns. You from Pittsburgh?
Pennsylvania area.
There you go. My husband is too.
So. Where are you from there? Okay, I'm from Somerset. I'm a hillbilly. You guys are city slickers down there. City slickers down there. All right, we're done with the questions. I want to get right into speaking a little bit of the Word of God here. That's why we come here, and I believe God wants to do some miracles here today. And I want to talk a little bit about blessings here today. I mean, we are in a problem right now in the United States. How many can say that they have felt the effects of a depression in this area? All right. You want to know something? I am praising God for the recession that we're in. Because do you know what the meaning of recession is to God? That means He's moving the wealth around. God is moving the wealth around. I'm going to tell you something. Right now, if you have lost your job and you're serving God, listen to me, serving God, you need to start praising Him because He's about to give you a better one. If you have lost your home and you are serving God, you got to remember, I'm making a point to say serving God, you need to start praising Him because He's about to give you a bigger home. If you're truly serving God and something bad happens and you keep serving Him, He is about to expand your territory like you cannot even understand or believe. 5 years ago, I almost lost my home. And that's when my life started to turn around. I come in from Africa. I come in and I was home like one day and my wife said, "We got a problem." I says, "All right, what is it?" She said, "Sit down." And she hands me a foreclosure note on my home. And she started to cry at the table and she said, "What are we going to do?" And I said, "How much money do we have?" Remember, I just got home from Africa, and I've been there 13 years running an orphanage. She said, "In all the accounts, we have $2,000-some." And I started to cry, and I said, "I have to send $2,000-some to Africa today." And I thought for a moment, and I looked at her, and I said, "Send the money to Africa. They can have." You know, the problem is with us as Christians today, we don't want to put Jesus Christ first. When you serve someone, you put them first. That day, my life began to change. I live in the same house, and I'm getting ready to give it to my daughter right now. Why? Because I made that decision that day that I was going all the way. You know, right now, everywhere I travel, everywhere, there's a problem where people are suffering financially in America. And the first thing that I start talking to the people and everything, and they say, "Reverend, you don't understand. I'm going through a lot of fun." Listen, don't tell me I don't understand. I've had my lights shut off. I've had my phone shut off. But when you're serving God and you're putting Him first, it becomes His problem. It becomes His problem. The first thing that I ask the church today, now this is not people that are not claiming to be serving God. The first thing that I ask the church today, are you paying tithes? "Well, you don't really understand." No, you don't really understand. And I didn't talk to your pastor before I got up here. But listen, if you're not paying tithes, don't suspect nothing. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. I'm leaving in about an hour. Tithes is requirements. We are required to pay tithes. Tithes won't get you no blessing. People don't like me here saying that. Tithes will keep you in good standings with God. It's the sacrifices. It's what you do beyond paying tithes. I was at a church not long ago and somebody walked up to me and they said, "I've been going to church here for many, many years, Pastor. Says, today I want to bless you. I want to give you my tithes." I said, "You take that money back right now. Don't you give me your tithe money. You ain't going to curse me. I have enough problems out there. I'm fighting the devil in Sudan. I'm not going to start fighting him here. Keep your tithe money. I'll take whatever you want to sacrifice." whatever you want to go without, whatever you want to put on the line that you got to struggle all week long to give, is what I will take and is what you will be blessed for. God is out to bless you. When you start looking at everything that has happened to me a number of years ago, now these are all true stories. A number of years ago, I'm at a church. Missionary's there. The missionary was good. I mean, he had a car, he had money, he had everything, okay? Not an overabundant, but he was all right. And God says, give him your car. God said, give him your car. Well, it was my wife's car. God says, give him your wife's car. My wife, I thank God for her. No matter what I ever say, all she'll ever do is look at me and say, I hope you're hearing from God. That's all she'll say. Nothing else. That day, she said, what are you doing? And I says, I'm going to give him the car. She says, you don't have a car. She says, I'm giving him your car. You better be hearing from God. I gave this man the car, but see, there's a key to everything in the family, and this is why a husband and wife needs to be together. Together. They need to be serving him together. For like a month, and I'm not sure if it was a month, because it was years ago, I'm not sure if it was a month or 3 months, my wife had to drive to the store in one of my old work trucks. I want you to imagine, you women. You know, I joke a lot about my wife, especially her cooking, but it ain't no joke. You don't joke about her cooking. Cooking isn't really that good, but some of her things is, just don't eat the meatloaf. But I'm telling you, when it comes to the meat, But she never said anything for a month to 3 months. She would drive that old work truck to the grocery store. And you know what happened? Somebody walked up and gave me a brand new Hummer. God is a God that will do miracles. You know, you can see the book in the back. We got books in the back, and then we got the books out in the trailer. If you're able to get one, you need to get one so you can hear about true miracles. But inside of that book, I want you to, after you're done reading it, I want you to realize that 20 some years ago, I could not read or write. I was a drug dealer. God had me write a book that, the first year it came out of the top 100 books, it held its own at number 20. God not only took that book to that point, he took that book to the point that is being made into a motion picture right now. How many of you know Gerard Butler? Gerard Butler is playing my part in the movie. Michelle Monaghan. How many of you heard of Michelle Monaghan? She's playing my wife in the movie. God has taken something because he is a miracle-working God. And he keeps making it bigger and bigger and bigger because he sees this up here. He knows every thought that you have. He knows everything you dream about. He knows everything that you think you're hiding. God knows. I am not perfect by no means. It wasn't long ago in a church, inside of a newspaper, they done a story on me. They called me the messed up preacher. And you know why? I'm messed up. But I love Jesus Christ. And I know every time I mess up, you might say, oh, what's he doing? Come on, how many of you get road rage? Dirty, rotten person ought to be off the road. I'm going to give him a... You know what you do. All right. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. All right. I mess up. But God knows where I go when I mess up. And it's back to Him. He sees your heart. He knows your mind. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're going to do when the bills are straightened out. He knows what you're going to do when you get the good job. He knows everything you're about to do. God knows. So why aren't you getting blessed? Because a lot of times we forget about God. I got the highest paid movie rights in decades out of Hollywood. Why? Because God knew the heart. A year ago, I had from preachers to relatives, and I mean close relatives, say to me, Sam, you need to quit doing what you're doing right now. You've been pressing your luck too long. You need to get out of Sudan and live the rest of your life and just enjoy it. Because there was money there. I'm sorry. That money is not mine. It's for kingdom work. When we get money in, it goes for kingdom work, saving the children. God knows that. That's why if you notice the guys are running around with the cameras and stuff today, if you notice the little DVD that you watched, it said the Machine Gun Preacher reality show. See, God is a God that He doesn't do little things. He does big things. We have a reality show that will be coming out in 2011. What the show is about is it's only about helping people. How many of you watch these reality shows on TV now? They're stupid. They have no meaning. Come on, man. A guy dating 12 women? Stupid. Imagine if all 12 of them got together and said, let's kill this guy today. He's going to eliminate one of us. Let's eliminate him today. Stupid. The show that we got is when every child to adult will watch it, we want them to say after the show, I'm going to help somebody tomorrow. It's all about helping someone. We will be pulling prostitutes off the street, giving them a second chance in life. I've never met a prostitute that ever wanted to be a prostitute. I've never met a crackhead that wanted to be a crackhead. I've never met an alcoholic that wanted to be an alcoholic. It's just somebody's got to help them. And a lot of times we'll say, oh, we help. Listen, are you really prepared to help a heroin addict? It can be hard. Hard. I've done it. I was a heroin addict. Our show is all about that. God keeps expanding it. I wrote a second book. They're offering me 5 times what I got for the first one. Why? God knows all the thoughts. He knows everything you're thinking right now. He knows how far you're willing to go to rescue someone. Today, I want you to literally think about making a new decision to changing people's lives. I want to read something here out of 1 Chronicles. And a number of you probably remember it from a number of years ago, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. A number of years ago, it was called the Jabez Prayer. And preachers were going all around the world and telling everyone, you need to read this every day. My goodness sakes, they put it on rocks, they put it on plaques, and people were so stupid, they were getting up every morning. Listen, I fell for it too. I fell for it too, all right? Let's be for real here today. We're all going to be for real. We'd get up every morning and just read the Jabez Prayer. And you want to know something? Didn't do us a bit of good. Because it's not about reading the Jabez Prayer. Has nothing to do with reading the Jabez Prayer. It's about living the Jabez Prayer. When you start living for Jesus Christ, when you start serving Jesus Christ, everything that's in the Jabez Prayer is going to happen. Things are going to begin to happen to you that shouldn't happen, that there's no way man could make it happen, but God can make it happen. You know, you see the truck outside, machine gun preacher. Everybody in their name was making fun of it years ago, all right? I had missionaries try to discredit me by saying, ah, that guy, he's no preacher, he carries a machine gun, all right? I was even scared. 2005, Dateline NBC does a story on me, shows me on TV with a machine gun. I'm like saying to my wife, oh, God, no one's going to call me anymore to preach. Listen. There's a clothing line coming out now called the Machine Gun Preacher. It's crazy. But God does crazy things when you get crazy for God. The problem is we all get into church and we're satisfied. I'm satisfied. I'm just going to sit here. Preacher's preaching a little bit long today, but I'm going to sit here and listen to him. But I'm leaving here today. I'm going home. I'm going to watch football. I'm going to watch football. I ain't coming back tonight. That preacher, he talks too much on Sunday nights. I ain't coming back tonight. I'm going to stay home. Football game's going to run a long time. Then we're going up to the shopping mall. Listen. Put him first. Put him first. The church doesn't want to serve Jesus anymore. The church don't want to serve him. When I find out, and when I know, like I know now, what he does for me, there's no limits to what I can do for him. The second chapter of my book is very simple, the title. It says, Whatever It Takes. You get that attitude for Christ. Get that attitude for Christ. Whatever it takes, you're going to see miracles happen in your life. One of the world's champion UFC fighters, somebody help me out with his name, Chris? Lytle. I'm actually doing some training with the guy. And listen, the guy is going to be the world's champion. You know why? Because he's starting to serve Jesus. I asked him, I said, are you ready for the ride? He said, what do you mean, preacher? I says, you're good now, but you're going to be the top if you do this when you're serving God. I don't care what you are. I don't care what you do. I don't care what your job is, but if you start doing it with Jesus Christ, all right? When you start serving him, he will take you over and beyond anything you can ever imagine. Anything you can ever imagine. I have my life's dream right now. Recently, I started building motorcycles. The one motorcycle that's outside, I built two of them, and they're getting ready to put them in the movie. Gerard Butler's going to be riding them. We got so many orders right now. Listen, we got so many orders right now. Everybody wants to buy the Machine Gun Preacher bike. People say, why is that happening to you? Why is it happening to you? It can happen to you. It's all for you. All you got to do is start serving Jesus. I want to read here. Chapter 4, verse 9. There was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brethren. Listen to this. You want God to start blessing you? Be more honorable than anyone else. Don't make a contest out of it. Don't start saying, see what I'm doing. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm giving. No. You just start serving. You start serving him to your fullest extent. Start serving him. About 2 years ago, I got a campground and church in Pennsylvania. And I come walking out. Somebody was honking their horn. They were looking for me. I come walking out of the bathhouse carrying a scrub brush for a toilet. They started laughing. They said, preacher, what are you doing? I says, I'm cleaning the toilets. I said, don't you have people to clean toilets? I said, yeah, I got a lot of people cleaning toilets, but I still like cleaning a toilet. For the king, I'll clean a toilet. I'm blessed, people. I'm blessed. I'll scrub a toilet. I'll do it with a toothbrush for the king. Because I know what he does for me. We need to get the attitude that we're going to do over and beyond what anybody else does. And it says here, his mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. Verse 10, he was the one who prayed to God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory." See, when we start praying to God for the blessings, how many likes the blessings? We get stuck on the word blessing. And we forget about expand my territory. When this message was taught a number of years ago, we thought expanding the territory was a bigger house or a bigger car. It's the territory you work in. I started 2 years ago. I said, God, I will go into any high school you can get me in, and I'll never look for a dollar to speak on drugs and alcohol. Now they're calling me from all over the place. Prisons are calling me. Everybody that you can think of is calling me to have me come in and talk on drugs and alcohol. Why? Because God knew the intentions was not money. Now listen to this. Now they're telling me they're going to start paying me. Get off this want thing. Get off this want thing. I want this. I want that. I want this. Start serving him. When you serve the king to your fullest extent, he's going to just start dropping things on you. Come on. How many of you got teenage kids in here? Come on, raise your hand. If the teenage kids, now see, I tell you, I was smart when I was young. My dad made a little bit of money. Okay? And I knew every Saturday that I woke up and the sun was shining, I just had to go outside before he got up and start washing his car. I knew I had to start shining them tires. They didn't have all this armor all stuff when I was a kid, but I would start shining that car, whistling and singing and everything. And I'd do it really loud when Daddy was up. And you know what? Daddy would give me money. He would bless me. Kids in the neighborhood would say, "My dad don't give me allowance like that. What do you do for your daddy? What do you do for your father? What do you do for your father?" When I was a young teenager, my dad, I don't think, ever asked me 5 times to wash his car. Never. I did it. When he asked me, I didn't get paid. I was a hillbilly, but you don't have to be too smart to figure that one out. I'm running out of time here. Expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do. See, when God starts blessing you, the enemy is going to be on overtime to bring you down. So, you know, it's just not about the blessings, and it's just not about expand my territory. You better be ready to be brought down. If you notice, I got a guy out in my truck. The guy is working with me. He's training to be training to do security. I have a security company too. A lot of people say, "Oh, he's your bodyguard." No, he's not my bodyguard. He's my accountability person. You understand what I'm saying? I spent a lot of time in Hollywood. I've worked for Sandra Bullock. I can start naming all kinds of movie stars. I go to Kid Rock concerts. I know ZZ Top really good. Steven Tyler from Aerosmith. Laid hands and prayed for him not long ago. Why is all that happening? Because God knows I'm telling them about Jesus. But listen, you better be prepared for what can bring you down. So when God starts bringing you up, you need to also have the prayer, "Be with me in all that I do. Keep me from trouble and pain." Listen, God can take us to the top quickly, but we can fall quicker on our own. Remember, He is the King. You know, today, I want to get ready to close. Let me have the praise team come on up here. Y'all can just start playing something softly, and you can go ahead and start singing. The Jabez Prayer, I want to just go over this with you for a minute. The Jabez Prayer was a lifestyle. The Jabez Prayer is a lifestyle. So I'm not going to tell you to go home and read it all week, but I am going to tell you, you need to start living it. If God can change me, the movie that's getting ready to come out about me, I was actually ashamed of the first 30 minutes. Because it shows a man, you know, them fighters in the back, pretty tough guys. See, I was never a tough person. I was mean. When you read the book, you read the book about a mean man. A mean person was, you might beat me up today, but I'm going to club you tomorrow. I was mean. But look what God has done for me. I was a drug dealer. Sold drugs to people and seen them OD right in front of me. And I never cared. Till now. Took a lot of changes in my life to get me where I'm at now. God wants you today. He wants you today. He wants to change your life around that you can begin to change a nation. You might say, I'm just a simple person. I can't do that. I was a man that couldn't read or write. I was the scum in the bucket. I was the man that was no good. If God can use me, imagine what He can do with you. All you got to do is start to live for Him. The Jabez Prayer, it was a way of living for God. It was having a relationship with God. Do you have a relationship today? You know, these young men, I don't know where you all are, but these young fighters that's here today, guys, you don't know where God can take you, man. There's a man in Indianapolis. You need to look him up. He's the oldest cage fighter there is. It's non-defeated. The oldest. I think he's 48 years old. They asked him at the one cage fight. I was with him. I was his corner man. And they said, Doc, how come you're undefeated? He said, I don't know. Ask Jesus Christ. Because that's who I serve. God is a miracle working God. If you're willing to take Him to the top, He's willing to take you to the top. It's just the problem is when He starts taking us, sometimes we lose track of Him. We lose track of what we're truly doing. I don't care where I go, I tell people about Jesus Christ. I was at a Kid Rock concert not long ago. And I get to this concert. I'm in the VIP area, okay? I don't go to concerts and stand out front. I go to the VIP place. That's where the party is. I'm standing in the middle of this place. Listen to this. This is a party. They're smoking dope. They're drinking booze. They're snorting cocaine. It was a party, man. And I'm right in the middle of it. And I'm saying, God, what am I doing here? All of a sudden, I see a lady walk in. she had on a scarf on her head and looked really sick. And I went over to this lady and I started talking to her, and I'm dressed in leather, you know, and I just riding one of Jesse's bikes. And I said, I don't look like a preacher, do I? She says, they say you're a Hell's Angel preacher. Says, no, I says, but I'm a preacher. And I says, I'd like to pray with you. And tears started to come down her eyes. She went that day to the concert because it was her dream before she died. Her last request to go to Kid Rock concert. Pretty stupid, huh? I don't like his music either. But anyways, I'm there and I started praying for this lady. And I looked around when I was done praying. There wasn't one person smoking a joint. There wasn't one person snorting a line of coke. There wasn't one can of booze or drink in anybody's hand. And everybody standing around was crying. I don't know how long I prayed. I don't even remember what I said. But God moved that day. It was probably the best old Kid Rock ever sung before in his life. Because of the prayer in the back room. But you know, when I left there that day, I'm driving through the field and I'm saying, Lord, if people back home seen me, they'd think I'd done backslid. And he said, you know, they thought the same thing of me when I ate with people like that. The key to what I'm going to tell you right now is what happened next. He said there was a lot of Christians at that concert. A lot of Christians was at that concert. But there was only one that brought me with him. Doesn't matter where you go, people. Matters what you represent when you get there. Listen to what I'm saying. Peter Fonda, one of the art guides in the biker world, calls me almost every month. Kid Rock, I can go to any of his concerts. Big and Rich, I can go to any of his concerts. We're getting ready to do a reality show with his daddy. But you want to know something? I tell him all about Jesus. It's about living for him. What are you willing to do today for the King? Just a couple more things. Please bear with me here. It was about honoring God. The Jabez Prayer is about honoring God with your time. Come on. You know, Assembly of God churches, and I should say Pentecostal charismatic churches all across America anymore, they're shutting down Sunday night services. They're stopping them because nobody's coming out. Nobody's coming out. Nobody's coming to church no more. Churches are literally being shut down. People are starting to turn them into homes, flea markets, everything you can imagine. Because of why? It's not because of the pastors. It's because of us as Christians. We're not doing what God called us to do. We're not serving God the way He wants us to serve Him. I tell you today, when you start serving Him, things are going to change in your life. You're going to become things that people are going to say you will never, ever be. You're going to accomplish things that people's going to say you can't do. Things are going to happen to you in life that you can't even imagine is going to happen. You won't even be able to imagine it. The Jabez Prayer is about honoring God with your time and the things that He gave you and that He gives you. The money from my book, the money from the movie, all goes into a trust. You know, there's a very good chance one day somebody's going to shoot me, they say. Fine with me. I'm ready to get out of this old world anytime God decides to take me. Anytime. I don't care. I'm going to serve Him here, and I'm going to dance over there. All right? The Jabez Prayer is about going and reaching people for the kingdom of God. The Jabez Prayer is not about what you have. It's about what you're willing to give. And you want to know something? Right now, I'm going to close this service about giving. And a lot of you think, oh, he's going to get ready to take up an offering. No, I'm not going to do that. Your pastor's going to do it. Because you know, God don't need your money. God don't want your money. I need your money to do the work I do in Sudan. But right now, this point of this service, it's not about money. There was a big Indian one time out west. Come in on a reservation. They were doing a big service. The power of God was moving every night. Every night. People being slain in the spirit. Miracles happening. People was getting healed. And this big old Indian come down to the altar carrying a saddle. He told the pastor, I need what these people are getting. The pastor said, you can't buy it, man. You can't buy it. He come back the next night. He didn't matter what he had to give. He was going to give it. Because he wanted what these people had. He comes carrying down his bridle and his blanket. And he said, you can have my horse. You can have my horse. You can have it all. I gotta have, and the tears were flowing, I gotta have what these people are getting. The preacher said, you can't buy it. And he turned and he walked away, sad again. Next night he come back and he sat in that far back and he seen something happening and he said, God, I gotta have what's going on in this place. I gotta have it tonight, God. And he come down to that altar and he told that preacher, he said, all I have to offer right now is this big old Indian. And the power of God fell on him. God wants you today, all of you.
Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope you are blessed by it. If there's a way we can help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, we'd love to do that. You can contact us at www.berwinag.org. God bless you.